ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Texts 6 and 7. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Get some paper put under here. Yasmin Vaira Anubandhena Vyudhena Vibuddha Itaraha Bahavaha Lebhire Siddhim Yam U Ha Ekanta Yoginaha Tena Aham Nigrihitaha Asmi Bhavata Bhuri Karamana Badhaha Cha Varunai Pashai Na Ati Vrde Na Cha Vyathe Yasmin Vairanu Bandhena Vyurdhena Vibhutetara Bahavo Lebhire Siddhim Yamuhai Kanta Yoginaha Tenaham Nigrihitosmi Bhavata Bhuri Karamana Badhascha Varunaif Pashair Nati vridhe na cha vyathe Yasmin vairanu bandhena Vyudhena vibhute taraha Bahavo lebhire siddhim Yamuhai Kanta Yoginaha Tenaham Nigrihitosmi Bhavata Bhuri Karamana Badhascha Varunai Pashair Nati Vridhe Nacha Vyathe Yasmin Vairanu Bandhena Vyudhena Vibhute Taraha Bahavo Lebhire Siddhim Bhavata Bhuri Karamana Badhascha Varunai Pashair Nati Vridhe Nachavyate
Yasmin Vairanu Bandhena
Yasmin vairanu bandhena Vyudhena vibhute taraha Bahavo le pire siddhim Yam uhai kanta yoginaha Tenaham nigrihitosmi Bhavata bhuri karmana Badhascha varunaif pashair Nati vrite na chavyate Yasmin vairanu bandhena Vyudhena vibhute taraha Bahavo le bhire siddhim Yamu hai kanta yogina Tenaham nigrinitosmi Bhavata bhuri karmana Badhascha varunaif pashair Nati vrite na chavyate Ladies Yasmin vairanu bandhena Vyudhena vibhute taraha Bahavo le bhire siddhim Yamu hai kanta yoginaha Tenaham nigrihitosmi Bhavata bhuri karmana Badhascha varunaif pashair Nati vrite na chavyate Yasmin unto you Vaira anubandhena by continuously treating as an enemy Vyudhena firmly fixed by such intelligence Vibhudha itaraha the demons those other than the demigods. Vibhudha refers to the demigods and itaraha, the others. Those who are different to the demigods. Bahavaha, many of them. Lebhire, achieved. Siddhim, perfection. Yam, which. Ha. It is well known. Ekanta, yoginaha. Equal to the achievements of the greatly successful mystic yogis. Tena, therefore. Aham. I nigrihitaha asmi although I am being punished bhavata by your lordship bhuri karmana who can do many wonderful things badhaha cha I am arrested and bound Varunaihi Pashaihi by the ropes of Varuna.
Na
ati vire. I am not at all ashamed of this. Na
cha
vyate. Nor am I suffering very much. Translation of Bali Maharaj continues to address Vamana Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, many demons who were continuously inimical toward you finally achieved the perfection of great mystic yogis. Your Lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes. And consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj appreciated the Lord's mercy, not only upon him, but upon many other demons. Because this mercy is liberally distributed, the Supreme Lord is called All-Merciful. Bali Maharaj was indeed a fully surrendered devotee, but even some demons who are not at all devotees, but merely enemies of the Lord, attained the same exalted position achieved by many mystic yogis. Thus, Bali Maharaj could understand that the Lord had some hidden purpose in punishing him. Consequently, he was neither unhappy nor ashamed because of the awkward position in which he had been put by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manum Api Shachiputra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasya Gajamurupurim Matarim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri. Vande aham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsa Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. The demons, the Vibuddha Itaraha, those who are other than the demigods, they are connected with the Supreme Lord in enmity. Anubandha, vaira anubandha, a connection of enmity. The word anubandha is similar to sambandha. You all know the word sambandha, translated in English as relationship. But the relationship between the demons and the Supreme Lord, it's not really relationship. In the same, it's not the same thing. Sambandha, completely bound up, real relationship with Krishna, means completely tied up by love, complete. But anubandha means it's something secondary. It's not natural. Sambandha with Krishna is natural. So anubandha can be understood to mean it's a connection. Somehow or other, they're thinking of Krishna. But they're not related to him in the proper position. The proper position is to relate to Krishna in servitude and love. And just the opposite of that is defiance and hatred. But as is mentioned already previously to this, at the beginning of the seventh canto, that even by hatred one can attain to the Supreme Lord. And Narad Muni even comments that he considers the hatred of the demons to be better than that of the love of the devotees, because it's more intense. It's not actually better, but it is extremely intense. In this material world, hate seems to be stronger than love. The love in this material world is illusory, but the hate is real. So it's very strong. And the material world runs on Icha Dvesha, two tracks on the railway. One is personal desire and the other is dislike, hatred. Dislike when it becomes paka, becomes fully cooked, becomes ripe, it becomes hatred. So the demons, they have an attitude of hatred toward Krishna, which is not natural, but somehow or other they're connected with Krishna. And we find that again. Narad explains how even by envy of the Supreme Lord, one can become like him. And the example is given, Peshas Krita Nyaya, that the creature who is, the insect who is tied up and captured by a more powerful insect, by constant meditation and fear on that insect, attains a form similar to that insect. I don't know of any examples known to modern biologists, but that is an example given in the Bhagavatam also. Now, Vamanadeva is officially an enemy of the demons. Not that he comes, not that he intrinsically has an attitude of enmity toward them. Vishnu doesn't hate the demons, but they hate him, and he reciprocates. Yayata mang prapadyante, tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. You want to hate me? Okay, let's get into it. You really want to hate me? Okay. You don't know what you're up against here. Let's have some fun. So Vamanadeva came actually as an enemy, although he appeared like someone who couldn't be an enemy at all. Generally, you can't think of a Brahmin being an enemy. Brahmins can be enemies to each other. It's unusual, unexpected, but we find in the case of Vasishtha and Vishwamitra, actually Vishwamitra is trying to become a Brahmin, so they really didn't like each other. They made it up after a few million years or so. But an enemy, he's a Brahmin boy. And very innocent. You don't even see? Who'd be an enemy of a little boy? See, smiling so sweetly. Oh, mother knows. He's not so innocent. But he's not old enough yet to be really bad. I mean, even Hitler was a kid, right? And he wasn't planning to do atrocities at that age. He might have even smiled sweetly. Didn't have a mustache when he was a kid. So Vamanadeva appeared to be absolutely innocuous, harmless. But he wasn't. He came in the mode of what the demons would consider to be an enemy. What does an enemy do when he comes to your territory? If he wants to sack it and plunder it, But Vamanadev didn't do that. Well, ultimately, he did. They want to sack it and plunder it and take everything away and occupy it for themselves. So Vamana did that ultimately. That was Bali Maharaj. He's intelligent enough, Vibuddha. He's supposed to be Vibuddha Itaraha, supposed to be different to the demigods, who are supposed to be more intelligent. But actually he's very intelligent. He understands that this is all for his own benefit. Because anyway, Krishna takes everything away, sooner or later. Mrityu sarvaharas chaham. Among the other things he does, cha, Krishna says, among the other things I do, in the form of death, I take everything away. So whatever one has, it won't last. One's manasa, deho, geho, it won't remain. Nothing will remain. So if one is intelligent enough, he'll offer it to the Supreme Lord and not wait for him to take it away. By offering it to the Supreme Lord, one makes the sambandha with him, makes the relationship. Otherwise, Krishna comes in the form of death. Give everything to Krishna. That's the whole message of Bhagavatam. And sarvasvam vishnave tatva murho vatishyate katam. And the opposite of that is, what a fool. How will you live if you give everything to Vishnu? So I'll give something to Krishna, but not everything to Krishna. That's a beginning, but that's not pure devotional service. It means to understand, I have nothing. Even in devotional service, we may have our temples, our zone, our position, or maybe there's a group of 5 brahmacharis and you're considered the most senior, or a group of a few householders and you're considered very senior. All finished at death. It may remain in the memory. So death takes everything away. But if one has the opportunity to directly give everything to Vishnu, that's a great fortune. We don't expect to get that fortune, that we can directly give everything to him. Directly. He comes in front of us. Bali Maharaj very happily surrendered everything. When the Lord came directly in front of him. Now we're hearing about it. We can hardly imagine the Lord will directly come to us. Everything that we're doing in devotional service is so that we can live with Krishna, see Krishna face to face. Srila Prabhupada said that you can see Krishna face to face. We can live with him, talk with him, laugh with him, joke with him, kiss him directly, personally. It's all about a personal relationship with Krishna. That is the great hope that we have come to Krishna consciousness for. It's the great opportunity that we have in Krishna consciousness. We want to go before him, but we won't be accepted into his presence unless we're ready to happily surrender everything to him. That's the beginning. The beginning of the relationship is to surrender to him everything, because that is the basis of the relationship, that he is the master, I am the servant. That's all. It's a very simple thing. But then we have to live as a servant and not have extrinsic or personal motivations. We see Sanatan Goswami. He had his servant who was very obediently serving him as he ran away from the kingdom of Gaura. His servant, Ishan, had brought with him 8 gold coins without telling Sanatan. The servant might have thought, well, we'll need some money on the way. But when Sanatan found out, He thought, oh, this is very dangerous. Someone's going to kill us for those coins. Better not to have any coins. So when Sanatan found out through someone else, he asked him, do you have some gold coins? He said, yeah. Sanatan found out that he had 8 gold coins. He said, yes, I have 7. He said, okay, give them to me. And Sanatan gave them to the hotel keeper. And then he said to Ishan, okay, the other coin, you take it and go. He could have stayed with Sanatan Goswami. There might have been 7 Goswamis. You never know. At that time. But he got a gold coin, which was not bad to have a gold coin, even now. It means materially it's good, but then he couldn't remain with Sanatan Goswami. A little attachment. Sanatan wanted to depend completely on Krishna. But you can't depend completely on Krishna if you have so many other things that you depend on. Then Sanatan, he went through the forest, he came out the other side, he met his brother-in-law who recognized him. His brother-in-law gave him a bhut kambal, which means a kambal, a blanket from Bhutan, which Bhutan is a very cold place and they have yaks and sheep with very fine hair, so it's very warm and very high quality and very expensive. So he accepted it from his brother-in-law, Srikant. But it was a bit incongruous, because here he is, then he went on to Varanasi and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A bit incongruous. He was invited that you take meals daily with Chandrasekhar, was it? And he said, no, I'm renounced, I'll go. He didn't say, I'll beg door to door, Madhukari. He's going begging door to door with this very expensive woolen blanket. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking at it. And then he understood. Sanatana understood. It's inappropriate to present oneself as a renunciant and at the same time have begging, please give a little chapati. And meanwhile, he's wearing a blanket that the people who are giving him chapatis, they couldn't imagine being able to afford having such a thing. It was inappropriate. So depending on Krishna fully, give everything to him. What would happen? Bali Maharaj didn't know. Give everything to Krishna. What's going to happen to me? What happens next? We know because we're reading in the Bhagavatam, but Bali Maharaj didn't know. What would happen? Sometimes we get on someone's case. Oh, you did such and such. It was such a stupid thing. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know what was going to happen. You can't say for sure, but then that's one of the qualities of an intelligent person or a good leader, is that they have some insight into what will happen, into the consequences of what will happen, and they make decisions accordingly. But you never know what will happen. So it's difficult to, not only difficult, it's impossible to know exactly what will happen at the very next moment. So Bali Maharaj didn't know what would happen. And maybe he couldn't have predicted that the turnout would be, or the outcome, would be so extreme. He might have thought, okay, I gave everything to Vishnu. And Vishnu, very good, very good, very nice, very good. So now you've given everything to me, you've shown you're fully surrendered, so take it back for now, and then you can live with it, it's all right. But no, he didn't. He not only took everything away, but he humiliated Bali Maharaj. But Bali had the faith that whatever he's doing, I accept. I know it's for my good. I can't understand how it's for my good, but I accept that it is for my good. So it wasn't like, says in the Bhagavad Gita, I have to surrender everything to Krishna. Okay. I'll do it. But you're not really, you don't really want to do it. And Guru told me to do this. Okay. But he happily did it with full faith that whatever he does, whatever he says, it's for my good, and he knows better than me what's for my good, even though it may appear to my vision to not be good, to be just the opposite of good, but the faith is there. He fully surrendered. What would we do if Bhagavan came before us directly? Can you imagine? What would you do? Obviously, we'd bow down. Well, maybe if we were a demon, we wouldn't. But even the demons, they have enough sense to... The demons we find described in Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll also bow down before Brahmins. Even Hiranyakashipu respected Narada. He was torturing some Brahmins, but he had some respect for others. And then Prahlad was respectful to Brahmins, his son Prahlad. Next in line, Virochana was respectful to Brahmins. So Hiranyakashipu really went to the extreme demonism, but normally the demons, they respect Brahmins, if only for their own good, because they think that by respecting the Brahmins, I can get some blessing from them, and if I don't, then they may curse me, or people will consider me a jerk, or for whatever reason. Mostly, even the demons are respectful to Brahmins, not in the modern age, not in Kali Yuga. They're inimical to Brahmins also. But Bali Maharaj, seeing Vamana come as a Brahmin, bowed down to him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas so that others would respect him. He was being respected as a Brahmana, but not by other Brahmanas. Not, they didn't automatically respect him because they thought they were on the same level. So when Bali Maharaj saw Vamana, he bowed down, he greeted him with sweet words, he offered something to him, but he was behaving with him not exactly as Vishnu. He didn't know at this point it was Vishnu, but behaving with him as considering him a Brahmana. And the Brahmana is considered to be the representative of the Supreme Lord. Now what would we do if the Supreme Lord directly came in front of us? We may bow down. Maybe we'd faint out of bliss or surprise, which you should try to offer service to him. Would we be ready to give everything to him? We have to see. And happily give everything to him. Well, we don't see. He doesn't come before us directly because we're not there. We're on the path if we're in devotional service. But we have some reservations. So he comes. Our life is preparing so that we can go into the presence of the Lord. And here in Salem, South India, you're preparing for calling the Lord here. You're preparing a temple, a suitable place for his residence. Actually, although people are saying, oh, it's going to be such a nice temple, but it's only a poor reflection, not to undermine your work, but considering how the Lord lives in Dwaraka, in Ayodhya, in such opulence, in such huge palaces, it's a sample, you can say, of the opulence that the Supreme Lord lives in. So you're working so hard to build this temple just to invite Radha and Krishna here, to prepare for them to come. You're preparing the building and the guest house and the road and the permits. And we have to prepare ourselves also. so that he will be happy to come. We have to, what will happen? We're there, we're in the material world, the Supreme Lord comes, he's revealed as the Supreme Lord. Who do we side with Bali or with Shukra? Shukra seems to make sense. We follow the Vedic culture, but we'll chant the name of Vishnu and offer the yajna to him. But if he comes, we won't give everything to him. It'd be reasonable, after all. Be reasonable. But Vamanadeva was not being reasonable. He was very unreasonable. He's probably the most unreasonable person in history. I mean, even Nrsimha, he was pretty unreasonable also, but at least he was straightforwardly unreasonable. It was obvious that he came in that form to rip Hiranyakashipu to shreds. So it's reasonable, if you come as a lion, that you rip people to pieces. But if you come as a nice little Brahmin boy and speak sweet words and smile, it's not expected that you're actually a very cunning person scheming to take everything away. So it might seem that Shukra, he was right, and Bali was wrong. But we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam to understand that Bali was right and Shukra was wrong. Shukra represents all our ideas of piety without surrendering to Krishna. And Bali, he is Atma Samarpan. He is the personification of giving everything to Krishna without reservation, happily. Otherwise, in mixed devotional service, or yes, we want to worship Krishna, but not too much. It's just like Bhagavan comes, can you give me something? Yeah, but not too much. What do you want? You want that much? Okay, let's bargain. You want to take 3 steps of land? You're going to cover the whole universe. Well, I tell you what, I'll give you 1 island, Bali Maharaj. I'll give you 1 dvipa. Yeah, be reasonable, let's bargain. But Krishna won't accept that. The training, we're worshipping the deity, offering everything to the deity. That's the training that we bring everything to Krishna. We give our life to Krishna. But with the deity, you can think, all right, he's there in the temple and I'm at home, and when I go to the temple, I'll be very devotional, and at home, after all, I'm a householder. So I have a little license, and so I can do what I like. So you be God over there, and I'll be God in my own home. He's not going to personally chastise me. He's just a deity, after all. We may think like that. Therefore, the Supreme Lord comes in one form, as Uddhava says, that he comes in one form as Chaitya Guru, the Lord within the heart, who we can listen to or ignore as we like. And also comes as Acharya Vapu, in the form of the Acharya. And one is supposed to serve Krishna, to have the training how to surrender to Krishna by surrendering to the Guru, which is a very demanding thing, that you have to accept what he says. We may think Krishna says too much. Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted that. When Krishna says, Savadhaman Parityaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja, some rascal commentator says, oh, it's too much, too much. Don't ask for everything. It's too much. Who is this to ask for everything? But that is the etiquette in relation to the Guru. We can't see God face to face. But as Srila Prabhupada notes, I believe following the commentary of Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, in the Puranjan section of the Bhagavatam, that when the king passes away, the queen is lamenting, and then is discussed what after the guru leaves this world, what should the disciple do? And Srila Prabhupada states in the purport that following the instruction of the spiritual master is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. So we want to see the Supreme Lord face to face? This is the means of doing so. Etad eva hi sat shishyai. Kartavyam guru nishkritam yad vai vishuddha bhavena. Sarvartatmapano guru. Krishna himself was told by his own guru that this is the proper way to repay the debt to the guru by a proper disciple. That with a pure heart, like Bali, happily, not calculating, okay, I'm giving it away, I'll try and get it back later. Very happily, with full faith, to offer everything. One's wealth, one's very self, to the guru. It is a position, the position of a guru can be misused, no doubt. But it is the system given by Krishna. And calling it to mind in relation with the pastime of Vamana is maybe ironic, seeing as Bali Maharaj went against his guru to surrender to Vamana, understanding that the real guru, Paramaguru, he's just addressed Vamana as Paramaguru. The real guru is the Supreme Lord. And then you may say, well, then what do you need a guru for? I'll just go directly to the Supreme Lord. But the real meaning of a guru is Jaha Hoite Krishna Bhakti Shri Guru Hoi. The real meaning of a guru is one who bestows Krishna bhakti. So the real guru of Bali was Prahlad Maharaj. In a formal sense, Srila Prabhupada uses that word, ecclesiastical. One should not accept a spiritual master in terms of ecclesiastical conventions. But Prahlad Maharaj, by giving shiksha, by giving instruction about the Supreme Lord, was the actual guru of Bali Maharaj. The actual guru is one who gives prema bhakti data. There's a verse in Chaitanya. Shai Shai Param Guru Shai Pita Mata Shri Krishna Charane Jai Prema Bhakti Data. One's the real guru, the real mother, the real father is one who bestows love for the lotus feet of Krishna. And Bali Maharaj has perfectly demonstrated the beginning of pure love, to happily give everything, his life, his property, his reputation, his hopes for future happiness in the material world. He's happily given everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore we worship him. All glories to Bali Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patidanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya churnakang padiyoni patya kritpa chakaku shatametadam he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charane kurutam.